See everybody today. Got a beautiful day for a wonderful day and a wonderful service this afternoon for our baptizing and pray for Brother Josh. But we're going to start singing today and sing out of Songs to Remember. And then if they're in each one of the seats there, if you will pick up one. Number 152 will be our first song. If you'd like to come on up in the choir area, we'd love to have you up here today. It's been a while. Number 152, I'm going to that city. Come on. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Amen. Number 48, because of Calvary. That's the reason for it. Because of Calvary. Number 48.
Thank you.
this. First time she's been able to play for us in a while because of surgery and such. And so we're glad that she's back playing for us again today. As she said earlier, she was just so glad to be here, is the way she said it. And I know that all of you feel the same way today. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today, and I hope and pray. I hope you come today to worship the Lord, because that's what we need to do today, is to come and just worship God today in this service. We have a lot of visitors with us again today. We're glad you have come to be with us. Some of you are here for the first time, and we are glad you've come. We thank y'all for making the effort to come to Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church, and I pray that you'll be blessed for being here today. I'm going to have to kind of change my tune here just a little bit. Many of you have heard me talk about Mr. Bob, Miss Nettie's husband, and we've been asking prayer for him quite a bit over the last several months because of his sickness. If you have not heard, he passed away yesterday about 4:30. And I just hate it so badly. For Miss Nettie, she called me yesterday afternoon, and her words was that he was really good yesterday, day before yesterday, she said. She said he was doing so much better and doing well, and then she called me yesterday afternoon, and Bob passed, she said. But she said he was so much more down, didn't feel as well. And she said he just kept saying, "I want to go on. I want to go on." Now, if you'll remember, a month or so ago, we were worried about Mr. Bob, about his salvation. And I didn't mention this last week. It wasn't for me to tell what happened with him. I wanted him to be the one to be able to tell it. I think everybody that gets saved, they need to be the one to tell about being saved for the first time, especially. They need to be the one to tell it. I don't know their hearts. Now, Paul and I went to see him Saturday night a week ago. And Miss Nettie had talked to us about talking with Mr. Bob. She says, "I'm worried that he's not ready to meet the Lord." And she said that, "Would you talk to him?" And I had already talked to him a couple of times, and he had basically avoided the subject. He would change the subject when I talk about being saved. And he'd want to get off of it real quick. And but Paul and I went down to see him, and we talked for a little while, and I told Mr. Bob, I said, "You need to talk to the Lord about it." And I said, "Salvation comes from a prayer from your heart." I said, "I can't tell you what to pray. I can't tell you what it takes to get there. It's just going to take a prayer of faith." And I said, after a little while, I said, "Let us all pray." And Paul and I and Mr. Bob all prayed. And after a little bit, I got done with my prayer, and I just raised up. And I'll be honest with you, I had to look, make sure you're still alive, because he was so still and so quiet. But he opened his eyes, and he said, "There's a warm feeling." Amen. Right here. Amen. And he said, "That feels good." Now, he had a little different terminology than what I'm used to. He never used the word saved. But I've heard a lot of people describe salvation different, the way they felt at the moment, many times. I've heard it described. I remember one child said it felt just like a bucket of cold water was poured all over them. I've heard just people talk about it being cool feeling. I've heard people talking about the happiness and joy that was in there. And he told Miss Nettie about it the next day. And she called me as soon as she left, and she says, "Bob talked to you, tell you anything last night?" And I said, Miss Nettie, yes, he did. But what did he tell you? She said he talked about that warm feeling in his soul. Paul and I left feeling much better about him if he passed. And it's not for me to say, but that's my hope of his glory. And I wanted to pass that along to everybody because we had been praying for his soul to be saved. And I pray that he was. And I believe he was from what he said. I'm as sure of his as I am of many of you. I've heard you say that. I can only be sure of me. I can only be sure of me. You know, every one of you, I believe most of you, from what you've said, you've been saved by the grace of God. But I'm going to tell you something. I can't know what's in your heart because I can't look there. Thankful that God sees the heart and he sees the desires of our heart and our faith. And when we trust in him, he does a work. And many times I get to see that evidence. And I'm thankful for that today. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I wanted to pass that bit of good news to you. It was sad that Eddie and lost her husband, as Brother Stewart said this morning. Miss Nettie did something this morning she hadn't done. She woke up a widow. And so let's be prayerful for her today in this service. Let's pray that God will help her in this day. We're going to go on with our service today. We've got to worship God. We're going to go into children's church at this time. And so all the kids over here today, I'm going to take care of children's church today for a little bit. All right, kids, come on. I'll even take some big kids. That's good. Come right on in, kids. I'm always thankful for our young ones coming today, and I'm always glad to get to talk to you. Okay. How many of you know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Y'all know that story? Do you? Good. It was three Hebrew children that would not bow to an idol, right? Okay. When that they did not bow, what did the king say he was going to do to them? Y'all remember? Oh, come on, some of you older ones. Some, what? He's going to burn him in a furnace, wasn't he? That's what he was going to do. So a lot of people in that day, they looked at those three young men and they talked about them and they said, well, they're not paying attention to the king. You see, one of the things that we as children of God have got to do is make a stand. Okay, so they said, we'll not bow to that idol that you set up. Well, the penalty was death for them. Okay, if somebody told you had to bow to something besides God, Brother Stewart asked this question today in our Sunday school class. Do you think you would bow, or do you think you could stand like the three Hebrew children? Now, I'm not asking for a show of hands, but it's always a good question. How strong is my faith? Could I stand for God? We live in a day and age where that many people, even you, your age, have to make a stand for what is right. And sometimes it's against even our friends is what it is. Sometimes it may even cost us something. Well, I've seen some times in years past where a teacher said, if you don't do something that's not right, I'll give you a bad grade. And the kid had to make a stand for God. You see, the idea is we're always supposed to make a stand. No matter how young you are or how old you are, you might think, well, I'm too young to make a stand. But you're making an example to everybody else. You know, there was a lot more of those young people like these three Hebrew young men There was a lot more of them that was there in that area. You know, they bowed. They did. The Bible doesn't tell us they did, but they were there. So these men had faith to stand for truth, for God, regardless of what the penalty was. When you're on the right side, being God's side, you're always right. There's maybe a time that you may have to suffer a little bit. For a moment there, how do you think those three young men felt at that time? The king had said, I'm going to heat that furnace up three times hotter. Do you think there was any dread in them? Probably a little bit. But they said, if God will deliver us, then well. But if not, they knew they was going to heaven to be with God. So they made their stand to stand with God regardless. Can you stand for God even when maybe your friends say, no, we can't do that? You stand for God and God will always bless you. And you will be the example that people needs to see. I asked the question during our Sunday school class, why do you think that he put this story in the Bible? Just so children would have a story that they could listen to? No. So they could be an example to you. And that's what I want you to keep in mind. Think about how the three Hebrew children had faith. Think about how they stood for God. And then you make a pact within yourself with God, I'm going to stand with God regardless of what the world says. That's my lesson today. While I'll turn you loose. Brother Sam says you're busy. I'm going to let you go. Thank y'all for coming. I copied Brother Stewart's lesson today. He'll have to forgive me for that. But it's one that we all need to learn. Even from a very young age, we need to learn to make a stand for God. I've read in history about our preacher brethren, about our church people over the years, that made a stand for the truth, regardless of what was going on around them, regardless of the penalty that was there. I've read where our preachers in times past were imprisoned for preaching the gospel, the same gospel we preach in this church. They put them in prison for preaching that. You know what they did? They had a window, and basically it was about 18 inches square. The people would gather around that window outside the jail, and those preachers would still preach the gospel to them regardless of what was going on. Amen. They preached the truth. Amen. They was people that did the same thing in many ways. I'm thankful for our lineage as far as what our people have done for the truth of God to get to us that we might be saved. I need to hush. It's good to see everybody today. We're glad to have all of our visitors here today. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer here just in a few minutes. Remember Sister Nettie in your prayers and pray for her family. Does anybody else have a prayer request on your heart this morning? Good to see each and every one back with us today. And we want to go to the Lord in prayer today. We want to ask the Lord his favor in our service today, that we might be able to say and do what the Lord would have us to do in this service. We'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray. It doesn't matter. If you want to pray out loud, that's fine. If you want to pray quietly, that's fine. You just pray. Make sure you pray for me today that the Lord's will might be done for me. And by the way, don't forget your neighbor, the one on the seat beside you and the ones around you. Don't forget them as you pray. While we pray, We'll call on Brother Tom, if he would, to lead us in prayer at this time. Everybody pray.
Sing that. Stand right there and let's sing My God Is Real. Let me tell you, I heard Brother Hackett's testimony there about Brother Bob. God can do anything, anytime, any place, anywhere. Just because his testimony maybe doesn't match mine, Lord, if he's got that peace in there, I believe he's with my Lord this morning. That's all it was with me. I didn't shout. I didn't scream. I didn't holler. That peace, that burden, that just rolled away. Let's honor our Lord this morning by singing. Number 88, come on. First verse. May be seated. This will be our last congregational song this morning. We're blessed to have Brother Sam to do a special for us. Let's sing number 234. Number 234, Eyes Have Not Seen.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Never take the request to sing a special lightly. I always try to find some inspiration. And so I was impressed to go way back, and this goes way back. I had not researched on when this song was written. And it's the old Ship of Zion, is what it is. Just to, so you're not wondering. But as I understand, it was written, Adam, way before even I imagined. This was written, as I understand, in 1889 by M.J. Cartwright. And I don't know if it was a Mr. or Mrs., but I can appreciate the song. Some might wonder if it's a song about, say, a lifeboat setting, as I can understand that. But the word Zion is found in the Old Testament, and to me it was an image of the church.
Amen.
But either way, the bottom line is this, and this is what I get from the song. We've got one life to live, and we need to make the plan to be on that lifeboat that'll take us to glory.
Amen.
So pray for us while we try to sing. Corey, I hope the mic is okay, but sounding good? I was standing on the bank of a river, looking out over life's troubled sea, when I saw an old vessel that was sailing. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? Its hull was bent and battered from the storms of strife I could see. Waves were rough, but that old ship was steady.
Amen.
Is that the old ship of Zion I see?
Amen.
At the stern of the ship stood the captain. I could hear as he called out my name. Get on board, it's the old ship of Zion. It will never pass this way again. Here's the best one. When I step on board, I'll be leaving all my troubles and heartaches behind. I'll be safe because Jesus is the captain.
Amen.
Sailing out on the old ship of Zion. Yes, sailing out on the old ship of Zion.
Amen. Amen.
Bless you.
Thank you, Brother Sam. Good song. Good song. One of my favorites is what I'd have to say. Learned that song back in the 70s, or started hearing it, and it's always been a blessing to me. Anybody got a word of testimony or anything on your heart this morning? This service should be about worshiping God. And if God's impressing you to do something today, I hope you'll follow the Lord. And let's be prayerful one for another. Anybody got anything on your heart? If not, go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians, 15th chapter is where we're going to start our message from today. You'll remember a few weeks ago I used this chapter in our message about the resurrection and about us getting to go home to be with God. And how that's going to work. I don't know exactly how it's all going to happen, but I know what the Scripture says, and I'm looking forward to that. But I believe, if I remember right, I skipped these particular Scriptures. I didn't think they were relevant as far as the sermon that day was concerned, and I don't believe it was. But we're going to pick up a piece of these verses today for our reading lesson today and to start this message. And we're going to start in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. We're going to start with verse 39. Verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are celestial bodies, and there are bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. That's our reading lesson this morning from the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And you're probably thinking, where in the world is he going today? I want us to talk about this just for a little bit as we start this message. First of all, what he said, there's different kinds of flesh. You've got flesh like me that's a little bit plumper than some of you. You got the flesh that is, we'll say, good and slim and slender, and you look good, is what I say. But then again, there is the flesh of animals, as he said, and then there is the different flesh of birds. Every one of us that's ever had the opportunity to eat some form of bird, chicken is easiest, we know that flesh is different. We also understand that the flesh or the body of a fish is different than that of a bird or of an animal. It's all good for us, isn't it? But it's different when we look at it. Now, what he goes on to say as he was starting to bring out his point is, there is one, in the verse 40, there are also celestial bodies. Now, I think most of us understand what celestial is. I think sometime a while back, I actually got these two vice versa when I tried to define them, but I'll correct it today. Celestial bodies are heavenly bodies, what we would consider that which is in heaven. Spiritual bodies, like God, is what they are. They are dwelling in heaven, is what it's talking about. And he said there are also celestial bodies. And then he says bodies terrestrial. Now the base word there is terra, which means earth. So it's an earthly body. Hey, this is earthly. We're terrestrial. We live on this earth here, and we have this type of body. They are different. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. We're not going back to that, but just as a reference, we talked about differences of the body that we have now and the body which we will have in heaven. And that's what he's talking about. Then he says, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. We're going to be talking mainly today about the glory of us today. I want you to think about the glory and about the praise, about the worship that we do here upon this earth. What we do to lift up God's name. I did not realize that when I was studying this, to be honest with you, I was very troubled with this, and I didn't know where it was going. But then Brother Stewart started his lesson this morning, and he walked all over it again. And then I got the thought for the children's church, and it seemed to line up too. And so now we're going more with the glory that we're talking about here for us. We are to glorify God. Don't get me wrong about this today. We are to glorify God in every way possible that we possibly can. Do we glorify Him to the very best of our ability? I doubt it. I don't. I'm still in this terrestrial body, this human body that still has the temptations of life, that's still afraid of this and that and everything else that is there. But it is important for me, as I taught the children today, that we all stand up when we need to stand up for the Lord. It's important for us to always keep in mind that we have an opportunity to give glory to God and that it is a blessing for them if we do. Notice verse 41. There is one glory of the sun as he continues talking about the terrestrial. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. And what is talking about in glory, if you look it up in Webster's dictionary, glory is the brightness, the luster, the splendor of those things. We're talking about the stars of heaven is what we're talking about. When we go outside and we look up on a good sunshiny day, we do not look at the glory of the sun very long. You remember when we had the eclipse of the sun, they said if you look at it with your naked eye, it will blind you, is what they said. If you look at the sun fully, it will also blind you if you look at it at a full view of it at that time. But that is different from the glory, the brightness of the moon. It's a little different, in other words. Actually, the moon has no light of itself. It reflects the sun, is what it does. But then Paul brings in the glory of the stars. We look up into the heavens, and it's one of my favorite things to do. And when I get out of the car at night, and I'll just look up, and I see the stars of heaven and just look at the beauty of them. But I also realize that each and every one of them, there's a difference about them. Some are brighter than others. Some are just barely able to see. Some we look at and we know the constellations maybe. We maybe are able to pick out the Big Dipper, the Little Dipper, maybe one of the other constellations. We see the figures that people have traced out in our minds, and we see that, and we think of the beauty of God's glory in those stars. You see, all of that points towards Jesus. It points towards God and His glory. I believe that the Scripture tells us that these things are a witness to God and His goodness to us, of His greatness to us. And in doing that today, we understand that what we do in life, we may be just like the sun in a brilliant, bright light. We may be like just like the moon that is brighter than most of the stars that are up there. And then again, we might be like the North Star that's not as bright as either one of them, but we're brighter than the rest of the stars. But then again, We may be just one of those that are a little bit dim. Are we? Today, I want you to think about giving all of your glory unto God. I want you to think about that. Whatever you do in life, I want you to give glory unto God. The very best example that I can give you today, as far as being the best that you can be, as far as glorifying God, is always Jesus. Jesus lived a life that was so precious in my eyes. He lived a perfect life, one that was for you and I. We always talk about that. But think about how that he glorified God while he was here upon this earth. I want you to turn to John the 17th chapter, and we're going to get a couple verses here just to see a little bit of the way that Jesus glorified his Father. And I'm not going to cover him a lot today, but I want you to take it as an example. Every one of the disciples glorified God most of the time. I'll say most of the time. But nobody glorified God as much as Jesus did. In the 17th chapter, in the 4th verse, he said, "I have glorified thee on earth." That's what he did. That's what he expects of us as his people today. He expects us to glorify him in the very best ability that we have. Now, how did Jesus glorify God here upon this earth? I'm going to tell you, first of all, the way he did it was he obeyed the Father. He obeyed his Father in everything that he did. I'm going back to Abraham just for a minute and how that Isaac was going to be sacrificed. You think about how Abraham took his only son and brought him to an altar, set the wood, then he bound Isaac and he laid him up on the altar. Do you find in the scripture where Isaac fought his father? No, you don't. You don't find it. He obeyed his father. Abraham obeyed God is what he did. Through that, we see the glory of God and the picture of Jesus coming to be a sacrifice for our sins. You see, Jesus obeyed God in every way. Every opportunity that he had in his years upon this earth, he obeyed, not only obeyed, but glorified God in his presence. He did everything that he could. Now, continuing reading, he said, "I have finished the works which thou gavest me to do." Now, in our life today, I'm going to ask you a simple question. Did you finish the job that God gave you last time? Now, Brother Sam, he had an impression to sing the old ship of Zion. He finished the song. But if he had gotten midway through, we'll say the third verse, and stopped, we would have been left wondering, well, where's the rest of the song? It wouldn't have fit, would it? But when he talked about getting on the old ship of Zion, it shows the glory God, in that he is putting us on the boat that we can carry on his glory in that way. Jesus said, "I have finished the work. I have done everything that I'm supposed to do at this time." What did he done? He left us his word. He left us his authority. He had given them the doctrine that he wanted them to follow. He had corrected everything that the children of Israel had done that was wrong. He was correcting it all the way through his ministry, how they had failed God, how they had done those things that were not what God wanted them to do. Had he done all of these things, and when he got everything in place in those men's minds and heads, when he got it all in there, it was finished. That was the way that he glorified God. How many times do we, as people of God, we go just a little bit away down the path? Well, Lord, you want me to go and see so-and-so and talk to them about their soul, and we go and we talk about the football game. Easy one there. I pick on us football fans today. We talk about the football game. We don't talk about their soul. We don't talk about God. I want to admonish you as a people here today. Talk more about God. Talk more about Jesus. It lifts up his name. It will glorify him, is what he says. In the fifth verse, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." You see, God, the Son, glorified his Father. And guess what? God glorified the Son. It goes back and forth. Now, the next thing I'm going to bring to your attention and want you to remember is that you are a child of God. Remember out of the 8th chapter of Romans, where that he said, "For his spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are the children of God." That's what it means. When you've been born into the family of God, you are a child of God. And because you are a child of God, he's looking to give you some things. He wants to glorify you also in this world. Oh, I'm not fit to be glorified. I agree, I'm not. I fail the Lord way too much. But everything about our actions does glorify God. And do you realize there's a reward? You know, I've heard preachers say it all of my life, God is the best paymaster there is. Oh, I've had some decent, well, I ain't going to say good. I won't say good jobs. I've had some pretty good jobs over the year. I considered it well enough for what I deserved as far as my pay was concerned. But when God pays me a dividend of what I have done for him, it's far more worth than what I'm worth. You see, God, when we follow him, he blesses us with his riches, his goodness, his glory. I'm not talking about Ben Franklin's. I'm not talking about money as per se. And I'm not talking about houses or cars. I'm talking about the blessings of God. Listen and go with us to the 58th chapter of the book of Isaiah. I've got a few verses here to get to where we're going to get to the point, but bear with me just a little bit. 58th chapter of Isaiah, starting with verse 5. It is such a fast that I have chosen. Now, what is a fast? A fast is where you give up, we think most of the time, eating. And that was generally what it was. They give up eating for a period of time. You remember Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. I couldn't survive. Could you? Many times, the people of the Bible, they fasted for days on end is what they did. Sometimes it was particular days that they fasted. But the Lord said, "It is such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul." You see, this affliction that we put upon ourselves, and I'm not necessarily speaking about just eating or something like that. Sometimes it's for us to give up the things of the world. It may be that we need to give up a pleasure that we have been wanting in our life. But he says to fast, to afflict his soul, is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? You see, the idea was that most of those people got into their minds, well, I'm doing the Lord a service because I am fasting. I've given up my food. I'm going to get down on a piece of sackcloth, an old rough piece of cloth, and I'm sitting in a bunch of ashes, and I'm showing the world what I'm doing. Is that why we serve God? That's not what we're supposed to do. The Lord said, I have chosen you another fast, a fast of affliction, not necessarily one that is showing other people. You remember when Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, he was talking about the Pharisees and their fasting? He said, they go through the town with their heads drawn, their faces, heads down, their faces drawn. They put dirt on their faces and say, I'm fasting. I'm doing this for God. They're not doing it for God like that. You know that? What God wants us to do is glorify him, not for our view, but for his view. What he says now is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of the wickedness, to do unto the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Well, really, what I think he's talking about there is the greatest fast that we can do is make the sacrifice to break the yokes of individual sins, to show them that they need the Lord more than anything else, to relieve that burden that is there. We are to give unto the Lord our glory that others might be saved, is what he's telling them to do. Now, he says in verse 7, it is not to thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out of thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou coverest him, that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. It is good. We have blessing boxes out here. We have food that's back here in the room back here that is set aside for those things. It is good for us to help the poor. It is good for us to clothe the poor. It is good for us to do these things. And it is what the Lord is telling us. We are to show our compassion to the world about their needs. But it's more important to show them about their salvation than anything else. Now listen to verse 8. We're getting around to what we want to get to now. Then, after we have started working for God, after that we have done the things that are glorifying God, he says, listen to this promise. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy help shall spring forth speedily. Remember light? The glory, it's not about us, but what we shine towards God. The moon has no light of itself. It reflects the sun. I have no light of myself. I pray that I reflect God in my life. He said, thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Remember what Jesus said? Lord, I've glorified you. Now you're glorifying me. That works the same way for us. He's going to reward us if we glorify him. Oh, we think many times, well, it's just something that people, they just think that it's going to be, I want cars, I want this, I want that. No, it's about God's Spirit and him blessing us and then us giving it back to him. In the fifth chapter of Revelation, you find that the Bible talks about those individuals that had their crowns, how that they cast their crowns. That was their rewards down at the feet of Jesus. That's what we'll do also. Listen again. He says, then thou shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer, and thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. In other words, he will answer your prayers. You want the Lord to answer your prayer? Don't be one of those once-in-a-while prayers. Don't be one of those once-in-a-while glorifiers. Be one of those that, well, you're with a friend, and they talk about this and that, and then they give you an opportunity to talk about God. Talk about God. Maybe there's a little hint of a word or a need that they have. Talk about the Lord. You see, in that moment, you know what I do? I'm going to give you my example from the other night. Before we even got to Brother Bob's room, you know what I did? Lord, help me to have right words. Lord, I need your help here. I need you, Lord. And that's what we're trying to do. You need help just like I do. I need help just like you do. You may think that I'm above you and I can say things and better than you, but truthfully, I bragged on Paula the other night. I told her she done better than I did. I did. I thought she did. You see, you got a reward for following him. Verse 10. Whoop, back up 9. No, verse 10. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. You're rising up. From our reunion the other day, my cousin had sent photos to his brothers, and they sent it out to us. And one of the most beautiful pictures that I saw, he had a screen that was just totally black. Now remember, they're flying at 19,000 miles an hour. I think that's right, about right. And you start to see a little glimmer of light over a little arched area. And then you watch the light coming up. Oh, it's beautiful. It was beautiful to watch, to see it as he passed over a particular piece of land. You could start to see down below him and how the beauty of that was from his. I'm envious of him. I wouldn't go there for the world, but I'm envious of him that the views that he gets. But that's how your light will be. It'll start to rise up and it'll start to come forth even in obscurity. The Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in times of drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. I've got just a few more verses for you. I'm going to be done, Brother Key. You see, all of this is meant to be an encouragement to you today. Not only does the Lord glorify you here on earth, we talked about how that those men would take their crowns on. I believe I will too. What little crown I've got, I'm going to cast it at the feet of Jesus because he is worthy. He's worthy. But we have some blessings that are here upon this earth. But not only blessings here on this earth, we got blessings here to come. Verse 17 of chapter 3 of Job, and I know I should have told you that quicker, but there the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. There the prisoners rest together. They hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small and the great are there, and the servant is free from his master. Wherefore is light given to him, that is in misery, and life unto the bitter of soul, which long for death, but it cometh not, and it diggeth for it, which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave. We talked about the last part being the wicked, but the main verse I want you to get, wherefore light is given, light is glory, is given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul. You see, God wants to save the lost. He has promised us to bring us out of this misery of this land. For any that's lost here today, it's time to seek God. If you want God's help more than anything else today, I want you to understand you can find Jesus today more than anything else today. You can have him inside of you, and he will hear you. You can glorify him with every word that you speak. You can glorify him through all things that ever you should ever do. You can be the workman that is worthy of a great, great reward. Wait a minute. I'm shy. I don't want to do something like that. Is that what you said? I was too. But let me tell you something. His reward is far greater than all of my misery of having to stand up the first time and the second and the third. It gets a little easier as time goes on, yes, but there's always a fear. We're humans. But I do it for the glory of God. And I pray that tonight, today, you will do what you can for God this week for the glory of God. While we stand and sing, let us praise God today and give him glory in this day. While we sing.
Number 111.